The London Coffee House lay in St. Paul's Churchyard, a crowded urban space steps from the cathedral, bustling with divinity students, booksellers, and instrument makers. The proximity to the divine hadn't stopped the coffee house from becoming a gathering place for some of London's most celebrated heretics, who may well have been drawn to the location for the sheer thrill of exploring the limits of religious orthodoxy within shouting distance of England's most formidable shrine. On alternating Thursdays, a gang of free thinkers, eventually dubbed the Club of Honest Whigs by one of its founding members, Benjamin Franklin, met at the coffee house, embarking each fortnight on a long, rambling session that has no exact equivalent in modern scientific culture. The late-night bender at an industry conference probably comes closest, the sharing of essential, potentially lucrative information while stimulated by the chemical cocktail of caffeine, alcohol, and nicotine. Boswell visited the Honest Whigs on occasion, and he had this to say of the experience. "It consists of clergymen, physicians, and some other professions, including Mr. Price, who writes on morals. We have wine and punch upon the table. Some of us smoke a pipe. Conversation goes on pretty formally, sometimes sensibly and sometimes furiously. At 9 there is a sideboard with Welsh rabbits and apple puffs, porter, and beer. On December 19, 1765, Joseph Priestley sat down at a coffeehouse table, there in the shadow of St. Paul's, and began a conversation that would transform his life. London had dazzling sights and shops full of the latest scientific equipment, and royal societies devoted to pioneering research. But like so many young men and women since, Priestley had come to the great city with one driving objective. He had a book idea to pitch. And that was why he found himself, for the first time, in the good company of the Honest Whigs. Priestley was 32, an affable and free-thinking minister and schoolteacher whose career to date had been somewhat stymied by a persistent stammer. His first trip to London, 10 years earlier, had been to spend a month with a speech therapist, a Mr. Angier, who promised to cure all defects of speech and made his clients take an oath not to reveal his technique. Born in 1733 in a small town called Fieldhead, about 6 miles outside of Leeds, Priestley belonged to an extended family of religious nonconformists at a time of intense political and theological battles between the Church of England and religious dissenters. Even in that unorthodox milieu, Priestley managed to push the boundaries. At 19, he was denied membership in the independent chapel of Heckmondwike in Yorkshire. Exiled from the strict Calvinism of his family, he spent his 20s preaching to small dissenting congregations in Needham and Nantwich, offending a few parishioners along the way with his maverick theories on the divinity of Jesus Christ. The congregation in Nantwich numbered only 60 regular attendees, which left Priestley with plenty of spare time to start a small school in the town, where he instructed 30 boys 6 days a week. He began writing in that period, drafting short treatises on theological matters. The supernatural distortions of the Apostle Paul was a favorite subject, showing them to a few mentors and then burying them in his drawer for later revision. And while those essays would eventually find their way to a mass readership, his first published book was an equally radical take on a seemingly less contentious subject, The Rudiments of English Grammar, one of the first attempts to systematically map the structure of the English language with the rigor that scholars had long applied to Latin and Greek. Priestley's combination of innovative linguistic scholarship and firebrand political writing would chart a path followed 2 centuries later by Noam Chomsky. Rudiments helped Priestley land the post of tutor at Warrington Academy, a prominent dissenting school in Yorkshire. Originally hired to teach languages, he was fluent in 6, Priestley quickly introduced courses in modern history and politics, a cutting-edge curriculum in an educational regimen still devoted to conjugating the verbs of dead languages. His first year at Warrington, Priestley wed Mary Wilkinson in Wrexham, Wales, where Mary's industrialist father ran the Bersham Ironworks. In his memoirs, Priestley would later write of his marriage, "This proved a very suitable and happy connection, my wife being a woman of an excellent understanding, much improved by reading, of great fortitude and strength of mind, and of temper in the higher degree affectionate and generous, feeling strongly for others and little for herself. During his years at Nantwich, Priestley had developed an amateur's passion for science. Though barely able to make ends meet, by the late 1850s he had cobbled together enough savings to buy an air pump and an electricity machine. Together with a well-calibrated scale, these three contraptions were at that time the state-of-the-art essentials of a scientific toolkit. They would, each in their different ways, help support the great tower of scientific innovation that Priestley would build in the coming years.